if equipment is down, ultimately care is down. Like healthcare these days really runs on technology. And to me, that's a solvable problem. You know, AI is a tool that we can now apply, you know, to also help solve this problem. And, you know, with AI, we can transform data that can sometimes be trapped in silos, you know, really into foresight in order to maximize the uptime and ultimately clinical throughput, you know, by maximizing the uptime and the usage of those clinical assets.
Welcome to the Retention Rethink podcast, a new series brought to you by Customer Success Collective and Gainsight. This four-part mini-series is all about rethinking customer retention and building life cycles that don't just prevent churn, they grow revenue. Each episode, we'll sit down with customer leaders to unpack their stories and share actionable learnings you can use right away. On the show today, we have Brad Casemore, Chief Customer and Growth Officer at PartSource. Brad, we're so excited to wrap up the series with your take on driving predictable customer outcomes. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Taylor. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get started and to set the stage a little bit for those who are listening, can you tell us a bit more about PartSource, your customer profile and the organization that you run?
Yeah, happy to. At PartSource, you know, we're committed to raising the quality, availability, and affordability of healthcare. Our mission really is to ensure that healthcare is always on, you know, for patients, right, and consumers of healthcare. So PartSource really is the leading technology platform for managing mission-critical healthcare equipment. You know, we serve over 15,000 clinical sites and 5,000 hospitals across the U.S. With a comprehensive portfolio, you know, across not only medical parts, which is where PartSource started, but as well as service, talent, and then asset capabilities like such as asset telemetry, asset uptime, and a portfolio and suite of solutions there as well.
Wonderful. And what has made this role so exciting for you?
What drew me to PartSource really was the opportunity to solve one of healthcare's most overlooked, I think, but yet foundational challenges. You know, ensuring that equipment availability is being optimized, right? And if equipment is down, ultimately care is down. Like healthcare these days really runs on technology. And to me, that's a solvable problem. AI is a tool that we can now apply, to also help solve this problem. And, with AI, we can transform data that can sometimes be trapped in silos, really into foresight in order to maximize the uptime and ultimately clinical throughput, by maximizing the uptime and the usage of those clinical assets. And so AI is helping us to be able to unlock, new customer value, through both our technology solutions, and our daily operations. And these opportunities are what got me really excited about PartSource's mission and being able to kind of bring these capabilities out to the organization.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your connection to the mission. And you better believe we will be talking about AI absolutely today. But before we get there, I want to learn more about the value side of what you just hit on. I know you've talked about have PartSource really focused on a value creation roadmap for customers. So can you talk to us about how having these roadmaps has shaped your approach to customer success?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, as I think about customers, value is always through the eyes of the customers. And I think organizations' strategies are rapidly changing, right? Ultimately, as you look at the landscape. And so therefore, I think, as a service provider, right? And ultimately as a partner, it's important to understand customer strategies. And then how do you map those strategies to understand what is value to the customer? How do they interpret value? Because it's not the same year over year. And so we've created a process here, at PartSource where, every year we realign with our customers on what are their organizational strategies? How does that translate into departmental strategy? And then what are their biggest challenges? And then in those conversations, we work with them to make sure that, we adjust how we measure the overall success of our partnership. And where are there areas that we can partner, with our customers so that they may be don't have to bring on a new vendor. Or it could be, how do I help them extend value or adopt features that maybe they aren't using today to help them ultimately achieve their strategic objectives? And so, you know, by doing this, Taylor, I think it's really helped us move from just being another transactional vendor, right, that can provide something to a customer, to really being more of a strategic partner, you know, in a strategic partnership that has, you know, visibility and a roadmap to not just help them solve for today's problems, but how do I help them solve for their problems, you know, not only that they face today, but then in 6 months from now, in 9 months from now, and in 12 months from now. And one of the things that we've helped or that we found be really helpful here, Taylor, is they can then also use that as a change management catalyst, right? So that their teams internally don't feel like we're making this change and now this change, but they can more or less show the roadmap of where the partnership's going to go so that it's able, they can use it to ultimately take people on the journey as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So critical to be able to hand our customers and just a bit of a roadmap around change management. But speaking of change management, no doubt this was a major initiative at PartsSource. So for those out there who are curious, gosh, where do we get started with creating a value roadmap? How did you get this initiative started?
Great question, right? Because it all starts ultimately, Taylor, with the data. And I think a lot of organizations get caught up in just trying to find the data. And then, you know, once you get the data, ultimately, you can get overwhelmed by it then, right? And so I think it's really important to, you know, first off, understand again, like how the customer interprets value and what your value prop is in the market. And then what are the various ways that you measure that? And then establish, you know, the operating parameters for what good looks like as well. And once you do that, then you're able to put in place, you know, infrastructure such as like Gainsight that helps you take data, you know, be able to create insights from it, but then also be able to create prescriptive actions. So therefore, you don't have your teams digging around in data and doing all of that. You know, we are handling the data, we're converting it to insights and creating prescriptive actions that have playbooks tied to them to be able to execute and be able to really, you know, execute at scale without, adding a lot of additional resources to be able to do that. And so those are some of the, you know, tactics and tooling that, you know, we've deployed here at, you know, PartsSource to really be able to help, you know, scale these things. And in addition to that, it's then, you know, how do you take those actions and convert it to a meaningful story, right? And a meaningful presentation that you can take out to customers. And so we've made additional investments really in those areas too, which have helped us. And it helps ensure then that every customer interaction is really adding value back to the customer. And it's making sure that our people are well prepared to provide that value to the customer as well. And so those are some of the efficiency things that we've done, Taylor, internally to really be able to help support this vision and objective that we have.
Yeah, that's incredible. So it sounds like there's really a host of resources that it's supporting your team. It's not just the data and the insights, but like you said, the enablement to be able to have those large, heavy sometimes conversations with customers. So that's great that you've built that around. The motion that you're talking about, so this value creation and the roadmap and the information being presented back to the customer, it sounds very high touch. I bet a lot of folks listening are thinking, okay, maybe I could do that for 10% of my customers. How are you thinking about scaling it out across your customer base?
Well, it comes back to segmenting your customers. And, you know, nowadays, the customer experience and the way that I've always viewed it is the customer experience should be consistent across the board, right? And, you know, creating that consistent experience really gets into, you know, meeting your customers where they're at and how your customers want to interact with you. And Taylor, not every customer wants to have, you know, a 30-minute or an hour meeting, right, once a month to go through those things. And so I think you really have to understand your customers, understand the ways that they want to engage and interact with you. And so some of these are, you know, done via email with the customer in terms of being able to get those in place. And others are more involved, right? We cover them during an EBR, right? So an Nagin executive business review. And that's the time. And so I think once you put the tooling in place, it's like anything, they become more tools in your toolbox, but then you have to be able to adapt to what is the engagement model with the customer in order to be able to then bring those things, you know, into fruition.
Picture this. Your team just lost a high-value customer. You thought the account was rock solid, in perfect health, So how do you explain the unexpected churn? Everything looked great on paper, right? What if you could see everything, even the signals hiding in plain sight? Staircase AI by Gainsight digs deeper. It finds the emails you weren't CC'd on, highlights an expansion opportunity hiding in support tickets, and flags meetings that seemed great, but maybe weren't. With Staircase AI, every customer interaction is automatically logged and analyzed in real time. You'll get instant alerts for high-risk sentiment shifts, real-time insights into relationship strength, and even visibility and recommendations on how your team is spending their time. You can't find every needle in the haystack on your own, but Staircase AI by Gainsight can. Stay one step ahead of churn.
And I love how you talk about meeting the customer where they are, because you're right. Not everyone needs a call, or maybe they're more complex and they need a few calls to work through it. And so being flexible in that way, I think, is a really powerful way to be thinking about delivering value. And on the value front, I know you've talked about benchmarking and some of the ways that you might compare customers and even provide value and just showing them how they're performing against their peers. So talk to us how you're thinking about benchmarking and your approach to sharing those insights.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, benchmarking, I think, is always a powerful tool. People like to know, you know, how are they doing relative to others in the industry? And, you know, PartSource being the position that we're in and having, you know, the large number of hospitals ultimately that we partner with across the nation, you know, allows us to, you know, show customers how do they compare against the best in class. And so, you know, we're able to say, hey, this cohort of customers, which is, you know, identical or similar to you, here's how they're getting value from PartSource. And then how do I benchmark, you know, customers against that? Again, anonymously, right? To help them to show like what is really the art of the possible here in terms of how you'd be able to extend that. But it comes back to kind of the key components as well. And when you want to do that and you want to do it well, it comes back to putting the right technology in place to ultimately to be able to scale it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Has there been an example or maybe a customer story where leveraging benchmarking has, you know, turned into kind of a great outcome for a customer?
Oh, so many. Let me share maybe two and two kind of opposite stories here. One is where, you know, we had a customer, Taylor, who submitted their cancellation, and that customer ultimately wasn't finding, you know, value in the relationship. And, you know, upon really digging in there and getting back in front of the customer, helping them understand, you know, kind of the full capabilities of what PartSource can partner with them on, really helped to re-engage that customer. And so it was a customer where we, you know, maybe hadn't been engaged or hadn't gotten the visibility or the traction that we wanted to. And after going through that, right, and establishing a value creation roadmap with them, getting over, you know, the hurdles or pain points that they saw in the relationship today, we ultimately turned that customer around, got that customer, you know, to renew. That customer is seeing, you know, better outcomes ultimately from the relationship. And, you know, as a part of that, they've also grown the relationship with us. And so I think it's one of those mm-hmm. components where, you know, when you help your customers really get the full value, you gain their trust and they come back to you with more problems and they want your help in terms of solving more problems, which leads into, you know, more organic growth ultimately across the board, which is really the win-win, I think, in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so that's why my approach has always been like focusing on the value, right, for the customer, and everything else ultimately ends up working itself out. And then on the flip side, Taylor was just actually on a call last Friday, you know, where we were presenting some new benchmarks that we had, you know, with a customer. And, you know, we were going through kind of areas of opportunity, both on how you can better use the core kind of B2B features that we have to be able to better manage your daily operations by understanding when parts and when service are going to occur on site that day, to using our visual analytics capabilities to really drive continuous improvement. And we were showing them how best-in-class customers are using these capabilities to, you know, improve their operations, and then also through how customers are using, you know, the visual analytics capabilities to drive improvement, to ultimately reduce costs, right? Improve efficiency across the board. And that customer at the end of the call, you know, said to us, they said, this is just so powerful, right? And they're like, these benchmarks just mean everything to us in terms of understanding where we aren't getting value. And, you know, we walked away from that call, Taylor, and they had actually had, you know, 10 new technicians who we found out like weren't using the platform, right? Because we were able to present those benchmarks right back to them. And so we call up with a plan to get kind of, you know, re-engaged there. Ultimately as a whole with them to help kind of drive better operations. And that's important, Taylor, because, you know, what we tell customers is there's this really powerful data-driven and evidence-based flywheel, right? And in order to have, in order to be able to make better decisions today, we all know that you need good data to do that. And, but how do you get that data? Data really starts with high adoption, right? And when you get high adoption, you get a more complete data set. And when you have a more complete data set, you're then able to, you know, ultimately make better decisions. And when you make better decisions, that drives better outcomes for your organization. And so that's kind of that powerful flywheel that we're always talking with customers about, because it does really start with adoption in order to be able to do that. So, you know, just a couple of stories in terms of how we've used this tooling to engage both a customer that's at risk to turn around that relationship and bring it to an existing customer to help them understand where they aren't maximizing the value ultimately of what they could with the current investments that they're making with us.
Wow. Very powerful stories. And there's two really interesting pieces of that I heard. So first, congratulations. It sounds like you all were just ready for those situations as they came at you, which I think is really powerful. The first thing I heard was having a point of view. In both of those situations, it sounds like your team was able to go in with, they've got the roadmap, they've got, you know, the background on the customer, they've got the benchmarks and the data. You're walking in with a point of view to be able to tell a story to that customer. So powerful versus, I know many of us have been in the seat of cancellation notice comes in and we don't know a ton about where we should start that conversation with our customer. So super powerful to be able to walk in with that point of view. And then I also loved what you said about adoption being value back to the organization just by using means you have more data, which means you can make better decisions. So really incredible takeaways from those stories. So thank you so much for sharing that. Well, since we're talking about data, let's talk about our favorite topic, customer health. What are some of the signals, adoption, usage? What else do you look for when you think about customer health?
Customer health. So we use what we call a CLI. So we use customer loyalty index here. Same thing, really similar to customer health. But we like to look at it and we intentionally call it CLI is to say, like, what's that customer's loyalty, right? And how do we ultimately measure the loyalty? And I think that that's important because it plays into how do you measure health? Because traditionally, I think, you know, health is measured by looking at, you know, product adoption. It's being looked at like logins. But Taylor, this is where the power comes up. When you know how your customers view outcomes, right, and you know how your customers measure value, then you can make sure that ultimately the way you're looking, what you're using to measure customer health or the customer loyalty index is a reflection of how they perceive value, right, across the board. And so, you know, I think today into today's like dynamic environment, like that's important because you can look at surveys, you can look at kind of featured option. I think those are all the things that I would say are above the water, right? And are the iceberg that you can see ahead. But they aren't necessarily the things that are beneath the water. And I think the things that are beneath the water are, again, how the customer perceives value, but also like what's the day-to-day interactions like with a customer? Because it's so much more than just the outcomes or how they're using the product. It's, are you providing them the day-to-day experience, right? And is that a good experience? And in an organization like PartSource, where we've grown both organic and inorganically, you know, all your systems aren't consolidated day one. And so how are you really stitched together that customer experience, right, across those systems so that when you go to get on a call with a customer, you can really understand holistically what their experience is with you as an organization and not just what you might have visibility to on the surface. And so, Taylor, I think this is another area, right, where AI is just so powerful in being able to, you know, help with that in the interim while organizations are going through, ultimately their transitions. And it empowers our account teams and everybody that's customer facing, you know, to really understand the customer. And what that means is ultimately you're ensuring that like you're prepared and you can provide value in those conversations and you don't walk into a conversation where it's like, I don't know, like, let me follow up on that. Of course, that still happens, right? You never are fully prepared, but I think it helps make sure your people are better prepared and they don't have to email five people or six people to get updates on those things, right? It's more of a at the click of a button now, you can see that. And, you know, we've used Staircase AI, right, from GameSight to actually help us do that. And I think it's been, you know, one of the game changers in terms of things that we've done, you know, this year to really better support our customers and really to better support our people internally too, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that they're set up and can proactively manage the customer relationship as well.
Yep. That's incredible. Helping them see around corners. You mentioned the iceberg and getting ahead of what may be lurking under the water. So how are you thinking about seeing those risks and that potential churn before it's wildly obvious?
Yeah. So we use our CLI, right, our health score, yep. and that obviously helps us a tremendous amount, right, in terms of doing it. But I think, you know, two additional components. One would be, you know, using Staircase AI, like I talked about, to really stitch together the experience. And I think an important part of never being surprised is also the concept of like, how do I just be proactive, right? In the terms of the way that I really manage retention and proactive in every experience. And so with Staircase AI, what we've been able to do is to set up triggers and alerts. And now our teams are actually notified in real time. So if there's a customer experience that doesn't go to our standards or things like that, the appropriate teams are notified via Microsoft Teams, right? And in Microsoft Teams, they can swarm, they can collaborate, and we can reach out and we can do customer recovery. Those are capabilities we didn't have before, right? But now it's real time at the fingertips and it's being pushed to people. So I think those are another one of like the game changing things, you know, ultimately that we've deployed here to really own the customer outcomes and ensure that the experience on a day-to-day basis, you know, only continues to get better. And that's on us as an organization, right? And I feel that that's a big part of our purpose and things that we owe to our customers, right, as a part of our partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I love how you're talking about, too, the experience for the customer. Ultimately, we want to take all the friction out. We want to take all the, you know, our mess behind the scenes. We want, you know, we want a customer to get in the right hands as quickly as possible and get it resolved. And so, you know, I think for many listening, we've had those moments of, gosh, is this owned by our team or another team? It sounds like you all have leveraged this capability, like you said, to do more real time, get it in the hands of the team that can solve it and get to a resolution fastest. That's incredible. So on the flip side, we've talked about those risky customers and getting to that fast resolution. How do you keep the momentum going with those already really healthy and loyal customers?
We have a number of tactics. I think our value creation roadmap, right, has been a strong way to do that. And, you know, Taylor, when you have trust with customers and you're delivering on the value of the partnership to them, I always say, what do customers do? They come back to you ultimately with more problems and more challenges. And, you know, customers say to us all the time, like, I just wish I could do this through PartSource, right? I just wish that, like, I could sign a contract with you and you can go manage that vendor for me. And so, Taylor, out of some of those things is how really PartSource has grown and evolved, right? And I shared at the beginning how, you know, we've got solutions across not just, you know, medical parts, but it's service, it's, you know, talent, and then, you know, ultimately asset technologies as well. And so some of the ways that our portfolio of solutions and offering has grown, has then based on that feedback from customers, right? By understanding what are their challenges and then us going out and both, you know, organically or inorganically bringing those solutions in as a part of our portfolio so that we can really be that go-to partner, right? For them, you know, in the industry. And Taylor, that's been, you know, a key part of how we've grown. And then how do we bring that back, you know, to the customer? And so I think building the customer experience and make sure it's strong, you know, making sure you're delivering on and you're able to, you know, measurably make sure you're delivering on the value that you ultimately sold the customer and promised. Those are key kind of foundational elements. And when you do that, customers come back, they engage with you, they want to find ways, right, to ultimately have you help them more. And to me, that's just a part of the, again, I think I call it like another flywheel effect, right, of saying like, hey, deliver a great experience and the flywheel just keeps going.
Yep, I love that. And you're getting more data back in the door when they're sharing with you what's on their mind. And you mentioned, you know, the feedback and learning about those other problems that they're trying to solve. That we talk about product feedback a lot in CS, and often that the connotation is it comes from a moment of being not so happy. But in this case, what you're talking about is really unlocking those moments of they're healthy, they want to partner with us even more deeply. Their feedback is now, here's where you could do more for us to work more closely together. So I love that perspective on getting feedback from customers. All right. So we talked about AI and how already you're using it to surface risks and potential opportunities and learning from the information that your customers are sharing with you. How does AI help your team prepare for big customer meetings?
A number of ways. So I share a little bit around, right, how you make sure you understand the customer, right, how we stitch together the information, right, across the board. And so that's been powerful. You know, we use Taylor AI. We use AI in a number of ways in terms of, you know, in meetings, you know, helping us take meeting notes, helping us to, you know, make sure that from those meetings we're gathering action items. And the reason why I bring these things up is because when you do that, you know, you can use tools and we, of course, we're using Gainsight here again, but it all kind of flows back into Gainsight, right? And what that does is it gives you kind of one place to go to really understand the customer. And, you know, I don't think this is Gainsight's official terminology, but I always call it like the customer intelligence platform, right? Like I want to understand everything that's going on. And that's my mission control center, right? To be able to do that. And, you know, it's powerful when you can stitch that all together and have that in one place because you get, you know, AI written, you know, summaries, right, across the board. You can use, you know, Copilot that's built into the platform to interact with the data, right, to be able to kind of understand things and ask questions rather than going and emailing people and trying to figure it out. Taylor, I think the other thing is, you know, for big customer meetings, you know, we've also deployed a technology called Matic. And, you know, Matic plugs into, you know, Gainsight ultimately, and it's extracting that material and putting it into a formatted presentation. And as a part of that formatted presentation, we also are applying AI directly on those slides with summaries and key takeaways. And so it really gives the team a starting point to work from to ensure that, you know, we're on brand, that the preparation and information they've done, they don't now have to go take all that, extract it, and, you know, start from scratch. It's like we can give them something that's like 80% of the way there. And I think that's important because as we go throughout our days, and we think about it, hey, you know, how many times are you entering information in this system and then entering information in that system? And then I've got my, you know, meeting notes in OneNote or in my notebook. And then you have a big customer meeting and you're like, I got to block off a day or I got to block off 2 days, right, to prep for this. And instead, it's like, hey, if you can put the right tooling, the right processes, the right technology in place in order to be able to capture these things, ultimately, you're then able to make use of that information and do so in a much more automated way and, you know, using AI, right, to help you do that. And Taylor, I think it goes beyond that though, right? Because I think what that allows us to do is to A, ensure that the team is really spending their time with customers, providing more value to customers and less time internally. So I think, you know, sometimes when people hear AI and you're applying AI for this and you're applying AI for that, and it's like, well, we actually have a responsibility, right, to our customers to be good stewards, right, of ultimately, A, the information, but B, also the investments that we make in terms of the service and value that we provide back to them. And I think by us, continuing to, look at how we become more efficient only allows us, to ultimately be a better partner and provide, greater value, for the customer in the end.
Wow, amazing. Well, I can't let you out of here without a quick lightning round around AI. So you've talked to us a ton about what you've already built and how the team is leveraging it. What's one trend or emerging technology within the AI space that you're most excited about for customer success?
Great question. There's a number of them. And I think there's no shortage of opportunities out there. And I'm sure if I'm like anybody else, you don't go a week without getting 10 different emails around what's happening in the space.
Yeah,
and 10 different opportunities and people wanting time to engage.
Right.
And so I think it's an exciting time. And, Taylor, I think for us, primarily right now, we've deployed AI internally, right, really to help our teams, become more efficient. I think we're still getting comfortable with, what's the best way to deploy that externally, right? Put it in the customer's hands, right, to allow them to, leverage it. And I think that's where ultimately we'll look probably, next. I still think that there's a number of opportunities internally, but also to say, how do I now start to look at, some of that, externally yet? And I don't want to share too many secrets or where I think we might go or what might happen. But I think over the course of the next 12 to 18 months, those will be the areas where, we'll look to, work with our customers. And Taylor, I think that's another thing about PartSource is we don't ever do things without working with our customers on it. So we, often when we do things, we have alpha programs and beta programs where we engage customers as really we're here to serve them, right? And as a part of that, we like to engage them on our journeys and the strategies that we ultimately deploy as well.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like you've built just such an incredible experience for your customers. And even more importantly, you're continuously listening as you all walk through this journey. So congratulations to you and everything that you have built. And Brad, this has just been such a valuable conversation. You've really shown us how customer success at PartSource is all about tying everything back to outcomes and how AI is helping you scale that vision. So we thank you so much for sharing these practical insights and stories. I know our listeners will take a lot from this. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. This is part of our Retention Rethink podcast brought to you by Customer Success Collective and Gainsight. You can connect with Brad and with me on LinkedIn, and we'd love to keep the conversation going. Brad, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Taylor. It's been a pleasure.